Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love, where we bring the labors of love from the Diocese of Corpus Christi straight to you. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my two guests, Freddy Perez and Albert Gavan, Acts Retreat Coordinators for the St. Cyril and Methodius Parish in Corpus Christi, Texas. How are you two?
We're doing well, thank you.
I'm doing well, thanks.
Well, thank you so much for being with me, and I must say I'm looking forward to our interview and our conversation, really, about the Acts Retreats, because I will admit on the air, I have not been to one. And so I'm enthralled, and this will be a learning activity for me in getting to know why people get so excited before and after they go to an Acts Retreat. Now, before we get started, though, can we start with Albert? Can you tell me how you got involved with the Acts Retreat?
Well, I've been attending St. Cyril Methodius Parish for a number of years. I think I grew up around the neighborhood and been there since. So our pastor, Monsignor White, approached me, and I did not know what it was about. I had just come out of another retreat, and he had asked us to go to San Antonio, and I was trying to explain to him, Monsignor, I'm already involved. He goes, no, we're bringing this back to our parish to help build up our parish. And so I was obedient, and I said, yes, Monsignor, what time and when, let me know. And so we did, and that's how it got started, although I was still unsure because I had already attended another type of retreat. I went in there thinking I was going to compare. That was my attitude.
Oh, there you go. And, you know, there's so many things that we get involved in because of the personal invitation of the pastor.
Right.
So I'm glad that you mentioned Monsignor White. And what about you, Freddie?
Well, unlike Albert, I have not always attended St. Cyril Methodius, but I am employed there at the church and have been for the past 18 years. Actually, this July will be 19. And I always like to tell the story about how my involvement came about with the Acts Retreat. And it was back in 2005. It was actually when we went to Prince of Peace in San Antonio. And it was Monsignor, of course, with his stern aggressiveness that, Freddie, I need you to go to an Acts Retreat. And, of course, I gave him every excuse that I could think of until he came out and said, either you go to the Acts Retreat or you're fired.
Oh, boy.
Of course, he was kidding, but I did attend, and it was certainly a great experience for me and my family.
You know, sometimes aggressiveness is needed.
Absolutely.
To get things done, because we will give all the excuses. We don't have time. We're too busy. We have to attend to our children, our families, our personal lives, our work.
Right.
It's and so true. And actually, as a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why I have hesitated myself, because I have very young children. Well, now they're 4 and 7, so I can get away.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
It's time. Thank you all for sharing. Now, let's start with just the acronym of ACTS itself, and then we'll talk about some of the details. What does ACTS stand for?
ACTS, A-C-T-S, A is for adoration. We have adoration Monday nights, and you just sit there and listen. Not anything as far as if you want to pray, that's fine, but just you and God, just sit there and listen, and adore His company. And then you have C with a community, and this involves with your community. It's the love and the caring of each other. It's fellowship. You see people that you've seen every day, yet you didn't involve with them, but they are your community. Then you have theology, which is the T in Acts, which is the study of God and the Word of God. You find out later as you, the more study you do, it's all, everything you need to know as far as your life, what's happening and what answers that you need. And that just comes out through study. And in doing all this, you find that the S in Acts, it'll bring you to service, that you want to help out and be a servant of God and go out to the others that are searching or have issues or they have problems. And basically that's what it is, Acts. Pretty simple.
So we have adoration, community, theology, and service. And Freddie, I'll ask you about this particular aspect of the acronym adoration. What is adoration for those in the audience who have never heard of it? Can you describe it in a little more detail?
Well, adoration is actually a time for you to come and spend time with Jesus himself in the Blessed Sacrament. To be able to come and spend your personal time one-on-one with Jesus himself, present in the Eucharist, where we know that by our faith, we know that Christ is present in the Eucharist. So you allow yourself some time to come and to adore Jesus again in the Blessed Sacrament and to not just to sit there and pray, but rather to listen at times, because really sometimes we catch ourselves just babbling so much that we forget that we actually need time for ourselves and to allow Jesus to speak to us as well.
And it says in Scripture that I will not leave you, that I will be with you until the end of the ages. And
yes.
And Jesus also tells us that this is my body and this is my blood. And so we have Jesus in all of his humanity and divinity, his body and soul,
right,
in the Blessed Sacrament. Yes. And we're there to adore him.
Absolutely.
So we have adoration.
Right. And as Albert mentioned, we have adoration period there all day, really, after Mass. 8 o'clock there at St. Cyril Methodius, where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed on the altar throughout the whole day. And then, of course, in the evening from 8 to 9, we do a praise and worship. And I'm sure for the listeners that are out there at their own parishes, I'm sure that they have adoration periods as well, where they can also go, or even ask their pastors if they can, or whether they do, or maybe they can maybe have it at some point in their parishes, to be able to spend that time with Jesus, as we all should. But and if not, then certainly please welcome. Come to St. Cyril Methodius all day on Monday and spend some time with Jesus.
Very well said. And you're right, some parishes do have adoration and some do not. But if you request it from the pastor, I'm sure it'll be considered. We need to take the step and say, I want to adore in my parish, if it's not currently happening. And for those of us who have never been to adoration, or this is the first time you're hearing about it, I invite you to research it more. Research what adoration is. Look at your local Catholic church. And see if, even if you're non-Catholic, that this could be a catechetical opportunity for us non-Catholics.
Absolutely.
to go and see what adoration is about. But I can summarize it in one word for myself personally, and that's that it's beautiful. It's truly a beautiful opportunity to be with Christ present in the Blessed Sacrament. So thanks for defining that a bit more. Now, let's go ahead and talk about what an ACTS retreat is. We talked about the acronym, which kind of summarizes the points that we want to look at in an ACTS retreat. But let's talk about what an ACTS retreat entails.
Well, I'll go ahead and I'll give my share, and then I'll let Freddie, if I happen to miss anything. But an ACTS retreat is a 3-day and 3-night. And it's a Catholic retreat, and it's presented by our own parishioners, fellow parishioners. And, of course, we have a spiritual director, and it's usually our pastor. And that's really, really important for him to be there. You know, he'll be our shepherd, and he'll lead us. And what happens is that we start on Thursdays. We meet together on Thursdays. There's registration. And then we come back on Sunday for a Sunday Mass at noon. And so during that weekend, there'll be prayer. There'll be, of course, there'll be worship, praise and worship. You'll probably, most any retreats, you're going to listen to some talks, personal talks. And it's just a time to just, if you're seeking answers. You might have issues, problems. And there's men that will be there as far as a men's retreat. the parishioners will be there so that they can kind of just sit there and listen and just in turn just what they receive be Jesus to them.
So you made a good distinction. There are men's retreats and women's retreats. And now there's Teen Acts retreats. I mean, we're expanding.
Yes, that's what we understand. We don't have it there at St. Cyril Methodius. We just have the, of course, men and women's Acts retreat. But I guess just to further expand a little bit on what Albert was talking about is that, again, it is put on by our fellow parishioners, and it is a parish-based retreat. And it is patterned after the description of the early church in the book of Acts. And, of course, the breaking of the bread and worshiping together, receiving, of course, instructions from others and sharing in the communal life. So it is very unique, and it's certainly very inspiring for all those who attend.
We're going to take a quick break. Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love. A special mass for the farming community and area farmers in anticipation of the upcoming harvest season will be celebrated at 7 p.m. Tuesday, May 15th at St. Elizabeth of Hungary Catholic Church, 603 East 5th Street in Alice. Bishop Michael Mulvey will preside at the mass, imploring God's blessing on the year's harvest. The date coincides with the feast day of St. Isidore, the patron saint of farmers. All farmers are encouraged to participate. A light reception to greet the bishop will follow in the parish hall.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm here with my guests, Freddy Perez and Albert Gavan, who are Acts Retreat Coordinators for St. Cyril and Methodius Church. We're having a great conversation. I'm learning a lot and getting excited about attending an Acts retreat. And we spoke about just the particulars of what it involves, that it's a 3-day, 3-night Catholic lay retreat, that we have a spiritual director on board, and we speak about the different things we mentioned earlier, adoration, community, theology, and service. There's one thing, though, I'd like to expand on, and that's the need for spiritual direction. Can we just briefly talk about what a spiritual director is and why it would be good for all of us to have one?
Well, the spiritual director actually is the pastor of the parish, allowing him to spiritually direct us in the way that the retreat needs to go, whether it be that certain scripture that we pick out for that weekend, and then, of course, to be involved with the retreat itself from beginning to end, because it allows him to get to know his people, his community at St. Cyril Methodius or any parish. And then, of course, the people, the community gets to know the pastor himself. So, yes, it is very important to have a spiritual director, which is the pastor of the parish, to allow his direction to see us through the retreat from beginning to end. And then, of course, to pray and to celebrate Mass throughout the weekend. And again, to pray for all the retreatants and, of course, the team as well there throughout the whole weekend.
And, you know, spiritual directors are different from, let's say, a counselor who might guide someone on secular things. A spiritual director really looks at the spiritual struggles that we have, the internal warfare that we might be dealing with, and it speaks to our spirit. So I'm glad that we were able to learn a little bit more about that. Now, can we speak about the purpose of an Acts retreat? What are the goals? What are the hopes? What is the purpose of an Acts retreat?
Well, I know that when Monsignor Pat Cronin first thought of somehow getting his community involved in his parish, and of course it all started back in 1987 at Our Lady Perpetual Help in Selma, Texas, with Monsignor Pat Cronin, is that the purpose of the Acts retreat that he thought of, that he wanted to get his community involved in the parish, meaning the parishioners themselves. And that's the whole purpose of an Acts retreat, is not only to spiritually get reconnected or refilled your cup with Jesus, but rather to form community in your own parish to be able to get closer, to be of service, to get to learn more of that theology, and then of course to adore Jesus as we're asked to do by living our Acts retreat. So I think that the whole purpose of the Acts retreat again is to build a better, stronger community within your own parish.
Now, I would add, and thanks for sharing that, that an Acts retreat is calling us to a deeper relationship with Christ. And as you were talking, Freddie, it seems as though it's quite comprehensive. We're talking about adoring Christ. We're talking about doing that in community. Then we have the catechesis, the theology, the understanding what we're adoring, for example. And then we are called to serve. There's an action element to an Acts retreat. So it's not just a three-day, three-night retreat, and that's it. You never do anything or transform yourselves. You're called to service. Right. So can you speak, Albert, to needing a new and deeper relationship with Christ? How does the Acts retreat help with that?
Well, what it does in our life, even though it's just a three-day, like you mentioned, three-day and three-night retreat, our fourth day is actually the rest of our lives.
Wow. And, nicely said.
And that's where we come into service. What happens is that we feel that there is a need. We've been touched from the past weekend, and there is a need for us to give back what God has given to us. We finally realize after the retreat that we need to go out and be Jesus to others, just as the team that had just was with us from the parish, they showed us who Jesus was. And so we just take it upon, and you see these men that or women that have come out of this retreat wanting to do whatever our community needs, whether it be fundraisers, whether it be cutting grass or painting or whatever they can to get involved. Now they feel that they're part of a family. They're part of the church, which is God's, Jesus' bride. The church is the people. And so we want to do that and have a good relationship with our Lord and to be able to serve. And I think because in time, someday we'll see our Lord face to face and he will ask us, what have you done for your brothers and my children, so we have to respond not so much through our faith but through our works also.
What have you done for the least of these brothers of mine? That's very nicely said, and again, I like the fact that there's a service component and how that service component lasts the rest of our lives.
Right. And the interesting thing, too, is that you get so emotional just by helping, just by doing and getting involved with those that you worship every Sunday, every week, and now you see them really sometimes even on a daily basis. And that's the beauty of it, to be able to see those individuals transformed from someone who you only saw on Sundays to someone really being involved and doing more than you really expected. And that's, to us, and I hope I can speak for Albert and I, is that that's really enjoyable for us to see that transformation in others and how they have transformed their lives, because that's the work that we should be doing on a daily basis, is helping those get closer to Christ.
What I would like to add, Margaret, is that we do have to keep in mind that when we feel that need that we want to serve, that I think I believe that the Lord puts us in one place, and he puts us where we were at in our parish, and we should give all our energies in that one parish. We can't be everywhere. We can't be doing all of God's work. God has people doing, he'll take care of those other parishes. But our job is to, stay at our parish and put our energies there.
So there's a heavy involvement of going back into the parish community.
Oh, yes.
Which used to, in generations past, have a strong link to family life. Mm-hmm. The family life was thoroughly involved in parish life. You couldn't separate the two.
Right.
So I'm glad that you mentioned going back into the parish community and serving. Freddie, can you share with me why attend an ACTS retreat? I know that we spoke about getting transformed, looking at adoration and being a part of community, learning about God, and then serving. But why attend an ACTS retreat? Why is it important?
Well, I guess I should say is why not attend one? I tell you, because it's so fulfilling to be able to attend a retreat. And for those who have never attended a retreat, period, but ACTS retreat in this case, is that some of those get so scared in the expectation of what are they going to do or being away from family and whatnot. But for those who really out in the audience who are asking themselves, why should I attend an ACTS retreat, is the important thing that they need to remember is that a retreat itself, an ACTS retreat itself, is a time to be able to get away from daily life. Daily struggles, your bills, your family, your work, and to spend that moment in time with not only by yourself and others who face the same challenges that you do, and even more at times, but to spend time with Christ Himself. And yes, there has been individuals, men and women, who have attended retreats or attended an ACTS retreat and have gone multiple times because maybe they didn't get it the first time, or it was so exciting that they wanted to go back and relive it again. And that's fine, too. But I think that the real reason why people should attend an ACTS retreat is because exactly what ACTS stands for is the adoration, the community, the theology, and the service that it all stands for. And it's all centered around Christ Himself.
Albert, we're going to go ahead and bring this home. If there was someone that was considering attending an ACTS retreat, what would you say to encourage them?
Well, what I would tell them, and this happens to all of us in our journey of life, things, sometimes we get bombarded with the worldly things or financial things or family life, and things just aren't going well, and you feel alone, and you have no one to talk to. So I would encourage them and tell them that to attend this retreat, and I would tell them that I know that, I would like to tell them that the outcome would be that Jesus was always with them. They just didn't know. I mean, because they're there seeking answers, and Jesus just never left them, and they were always walking by their side. So to attend a retreat, that way they could, if they're feeling down, Jesus will lift them back up and get back within their families, their communities, and their friends, and they'll be able to meet on with these situations. You know, the Lord said that life was not going to be perfect, especially when you followed the footsteps of Jesus. He's a suffering Christ. And so if we follow our Lord Jesus, we'll be following the right road. Right? Even though it would be a hard road, it'd be a suffering road. But in the end, our treasure will be very rewarding.
In the resurrection. Freddie, I think you just issued the audience a challenge to attend an ACTS retreat. Freddie and Albert, thank you so much for joining us. I ask that God continue to bless you in your ministry with the ACTS retreats and as coordinators. And again, thank you for being with us on Labors of Love.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's sacred moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Everything we do in life revolves around relationships. Whether we are in the business world, experiencing life in a family, or living as a single person in the midst of society, we cannot avoid having relationships with other people. Even strangers waiting in a checkout line at a store form relationships with those around them. Relationships sometimes last a few moments, other times for an entire lifetime. However it comes about, a relationship requires an exchange of persons, a sharing of ideas and feelings. To do that requires communication, which, as we know, usually means talking and listening. We all know someone who has the gift of gab, which is the ability to carry on a conversation with anyone, anywhere, on almost any topic. What is striking about these people isn't their ability to talk or to draw someone into conversation. Rather, it's their ability to listen. Listening is what allows them to know what question will keep the conversation moving. They are usually the people most likely to be able to break an awkward silence with a well-thought question or a response, and it is almost always at just the right time. An awkward silence in the midst of conversation is most often that moment when the conversation is in doubt, when something has been said and neither party knows how or whether to respond. It is one of those difficult moments we face from time to time. For some it can be overwhelming, so we just say whatever comes to mind without considering whether it has any relevance at all. Quite often people talk to fill the silences in life because they are uncomfortable being alone with themselves. How sad indeed. In the Gospels, Jesus always invited people to enter into a relationship with him. When he called the disciples, he simply said, "Come and see." The closer they grew in friendship with him, the more he revealed to them his relationship with the Father, a relationship sustained by prayer. This is the relationship he longs to have with each one of us. But prayer can be hard. We talk, and God doesn't answer, or so we believe. Following the examples of Jesus and many of the greatest saints who have ever lived, we might find from time to time that the only form our prayer can take must be silence. We know it's necessary because a relationship can't be one-sided. Without the sharing of both persons, it will fail. And so we know that we can't do all of the talking. Therefore, it is necessary and right that we learn to embrace silence as a gift. It is right and good that we learn to embrace silence in order to listen. And most importantly, it is good that we learn to embrace God's friendship in the silences of our life. Only then will we know how to act, what to say, and how to keep the conversation going so that the relationship grows stronger. Jesus, talking about houses built on rocks and sand, said, "Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man, and everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool." When you find yourself facing an awkward silence, listen for the words of God embedded there, just for you. May your sacred moments guide you to discover the beautiful gift of God's presence in the silences of your life, and may those silences and all of your life be filled with prayer. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guests, Freddie Perez and Albert Galvan, ACTS Retreat Coordinators at St. Cyril and Methodius Church. If you would like more information, please call the parish at 361-853-7371. And if you would like to attend an ACTS Retreat, their upcoming Women's ACTS Retreat is September 13th through the 16th, 2012, and their upcoming Men's ACTS Retreat is August 30th through September 2nd. Again, thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. Join us next time.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.